coming to you live from the Business Radio X studio. It's Franchise Marketing Radio, brought to you by IDS, an award-winning digital marketing agency that delivers integrated marketing solutions for franchisors, franchisees, and franchise development teams. Learn why over 75 brands depend on IDS's team of dedicated marketers and client service professionals to deliver a strong ROI on their marketing investment. Go to IDSFranchiseMarketing.com for a complimentary digital audit and consultation.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Rob Ganley, your host for Franchise Marketing Radio. We're going to dive in and discuss some strategies about the quick service restaurant model that I think is really unique. This brand is making some big waves in the industry. I'm thrilled to have with me today, Zach Omar. He is the CEO of Atomic Wings. So it's great to have you on board here today, Zach. Welcome to the show.
Rob, pleasure to be here.
So I'm going to dive right in and just kind of get to the, tell us about your why. How did this start for you, this brand and this relationship?
Honestly, a pretty crazy story. I was approached to be a franchisee by the founder, Adam Lippin, at the time. And Adam was basically, a college kid out of upstate New York. He worked at Duff's Bar, which is credited for creating the Buffalo Wing. Came down to New York City and kind of opened up Atomic Wings inside of bars. And at the time, I was working on Wall Street with my buddies. I was doing IT sales, making a good living. And he, we ordered Atomic Wings for lunch, at our Wall Street job. And he approached me about being a franchisee because I did have some franchise experience with Dunkin' Donuts. And at the time, after talking to him and realizing there was really no plan for him to move the brand forward, I asked him about purchasing the company because I love the food. I'm a big believer and you got to love the product to really, sell the product. So I love the product and I love the flavor profile. And we came to an agreement of, me purchasing the company, and he was happy to get out after working in the industry for about 20 years. He was a little burnt out. And, since then, we've just been booming.
What I was saying, and you were hearing, is that I love the Wall Street backdrop because in high school, that was like my thought. I thought, yeah, I want to be on Wall Street like Gordon Gekko from the movie Wall Street. So. Yeah, you're laughing. It's like, I thought that was the thing to do in the 80s. I was ready for that. But I ended up getting into tech, and fast forward 30 years, and here I am doing podcasts talking about franchises, but talking about marketing and technology too. So I love the combination because I was like you. I was doing IT sales in the late 90s, early 2000s, and I really wanted to get into just working for myself, just building something for myself. And I just felt like that was more my DNA. I didn't really see it early on, right? That's an important thing I think you could probably address as well, is, how do you kind of know if you're the right fit, right? But I thought that was really interesting how you came about that. And that was also interesting. Were you saying that Atomic Wings, the founder, was part of the first business that kind of was credited with inventing the wings?
Yeah, Duff's Bar. It's kind of like, the Philly cheesesteak, Pat's and Geno's. They always fight over who created the Philly cheesesteak. Same thing with Duff's Bar and Anchor Bar up in Buffalo. They kind of fight over who created the Buffalo Wing. And and that's where our founder was working. So,
But listen, New York and Philly, I'm from Philly, but the food, I'm not going to ever argue. It's just the best food in the world. So
absolutely. Yeah,
whatever they credited, that came from there. I believe it. I already believe it. But that's cool. Now, I never really thought about that, but wings have been a pretty cool thing for quite a while. So I love wings. Anyways, well, so let's talk a little bit about, all right, you're CEO now. You've been running the business for, I think you said about 9, 10 years. Is that right?
Yeah, about 8, 9 years now.
8, 9 years. So I know for 2024, you've got some interesting expansion plans, and you're ambitious, I should say. Tell me a little bit about how that looks for you, and what are some of the strategies that you're kind of putting into place for that?
Absolutely. So we're born and raised out of New York. That's where we've had most of our locations. Last year we brought on more people on our corporate team, which have had franchise experience. We're one of the few franchises that are run by franchisees. Myself, I mentioned I have franchisee background with Dunkin'. Our board of directors, Michael D'Amico, who's our VP of development, he's worked at Firehouse Subs. Our VP of operations, he was a Firehouse Subs franchisee as well, Michael Harmon. So we've all been franchisees. We know what it's like to invest all your money into a brand and invest in construction. So we take that into consideration when we talk to our franchisees from a franchisor level. Our plans this year, we've signed over 150 agreements nationwide to expand beyond New York in states like Indiana, Tennessee, Illinois, Texas, pretty much all over the map. And we've just seen when speaking to third parties like DoorDash, Uber Eats, they tell us that wings are the second most ordered item after pizza. And that just goes to show you the demand out there for the Buffalo Wings.
Yeah. Well, I got to ask you, because I'm a little bit of when you say flavor profile, I'm like, this guy knows his wings. Of course, you should know your wings, right? But tell me a little bit about you're going to expand amazingly. That's quite an expansion, but there must be a buzz, right? There must be some serious momentum. Tell us about the product. I know there's probably some unique angles there that make that a special product. Even though it's a wing, there's some special sauce to it for sure. So tell us more about that.
Yeah. So let me tell you, a couple of things here. We want to be the place where you can find the wing that you like. And what I mean by that is some spots have the traditional buffalo wing, which is a naked wing, right? And then some other spots have the Korean style wing with the banchans, with the breaded wing. And what we're doing here at Atomic Wings is unique. We offer the traditional buffalo wing. That's where we've made our name. We also offer a grilled wing, which nobody in this industry does. And we're rolling out our new breaded wing. So have your wing any way you want. And I always tell everybody, find your flavor. We have 16 unique flavors across the board. So we have something for everyone, from sweet to heat. If you're spice adverse, we have, honey barbecue, honey mustard. Another thing that sets us apart is we use fresh products. Nothing's ever frozen. We brine our wings. We're one of the few companies that actually brine our wings before putting them into the fryer. So we take a lot of extra process. We take a lot of extra steps before it even gets to the customer, because we believe that we do have a better chicken for our customers. Antibiotic, hormone free. Our boneless wings, they're not frozen nuggets like some of our competitors. We hand cut our boneless wings every day, hand batter and hand bread them every day. So they're cooked to order. So you're really getting a meal that's cooked for you in a fast food environment.
That's ridiculous. That's ridiculously good, honestly. Yeah. I mean, I take wings that are frozen, put them in a deep fryer and feel like they're awesome, right?
Yeah.
to do that extra care, I can, and I wish there, I'm in Colorado. Do you have anything close to Denver or do you have
not yet?
Plan?
Not yet, but we'll be there. That's a great spot to be.
Checking that out.
Yeah. So, but I'm not going to come to Colorado anymore. I just went to Vail and I had that altitude sickness. So I'm out. No. I'm not coming out there.
Don't visit me in Colorado Springs. It's lower. You won't get it. Yeah. Just drink a lot of water. Drink a lot of water next time.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know. I've had that. Yeah. When we first moved here, that happened to me as well. So not a fun thing. Not a fun thing.
No,
at all.
No.
So anyways, I want to talk to you more about this menu, because I know you guys are, you do innovate and there is a process to that. And obviously there's also a methodology to make sure you're doing the right things as a business, right? Being efficient. Sure. and focusing on your strengths. But you also over time feel the need to maybe diversify or add a menu item and such. But how do you guys do that? And I know that's important for a franchisee running a business. They can focus on the relationships and running the business. But the menu is amazing and it's always evolving. But how do you handle that? And is there anything else other than the wings? What else do you guys do?
Yeah, so product innovation, we do a lot of research and development before we roll out a new product. We have a corporate chef that we work with, and we're always testing out things. Back in last year, I believe, or the year before, wing prices and chicken prices were extremely high. And we needed to get a product out there for that our, you know, franchisees could push out to the market that tasted great and was cost effective for them as well. So we rolled out flatbread pizzas. We have our Buffalo Ranch, our Chipotle barbecue, our garlic parm. So we're still using our boneless chicken on our flatbreads. And we're using the equipment that we have in our stores. We really didn't have to bring in any new SKUs. Well, one or two, but nothing out of the, you know, nothing out of the ordinary. And, you know, it was fairly simple, fast cook times, 3 to 4 minutes. And we always look at things like that is, can we use the products that we have in store? And we're using our own sauces, our boneless chicken, and, you know, our combi ovens to make that flatbread pizza. It's an amazing product. And you know, flatbreads are popular everywhere.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it goes perfect with wings.
So, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Good stuff. So tell me, and you're from New York, I'm from Philly. We're kind of crazy with sports fans, right? Sports stuff. And you think of, when you think of that, you think of passion and people just love their sports team. And I think of brands like that, right?
Absolutely.
And so I'm going to guess that people are pretty passionate about your wings. But tell us a little bit about the marketing, like what goes into that. And if you're launching in a new market where maybe you don't have as much, you know, people don't know your name as well, right? Like in New York,
right.
What is the plan to kind of get up to that sort of raving fan base? Like what is sort of the marketing strategy of that?
Yeah, we have a huge grand opening. So we, you know, we go all out for our grand openings to make sure that, you know, the locals know that we're there, especially entering a new market, like you said. But once you enter our brand, you know, our TVs kind of have looping videos of where we've been featured on. So we've been on late night shows. We've been on Fox. You know, we've had many influencers come into our restaurant. So it's kind of, you know, we're not a mom and pop shop in you know, in Idaho or in Indiana. They see it on the screen and they're like, oh, wow, you guys are pretty big out here. And I'm a big believer that the product speaks for itself, right? Once we get people in the door, we have a lot of repeat customers just because they prefer our product to our competitors. They can taste the freshness and the quality of our product versus our competition.
Yeah. I always, when I talk to you guys, you know, businesses that are in the food business, right? To me, it's like the product is part of the marketing, right? Because if even you describing the wings made me hungry, like it's kind of lunchish right now for me anyway. But, you know, you kind of know when you eat something that's so good and you're like, this is awesome. You just talk about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then you want to go there with someone. And then, you know, so that's huge for marketing and so important for word of mouth. And to
word
build
of mouth,
that momentum.
Yeah. And we're in a different age, right? We're not big enough to have commercials on TV yet. So we use a lot of, you know, influencers on Instagram and TikTok, and that seems to be what the younger generations kind of follow and react to. And we always want to be kind of cutting edge and hip to that. So we definitely invite influencers in, try our product and give us their honest feedback on their own channels. And that has worked out for us so far.
I love that. Thanks for sharing that. I think there's some wisdom in making that marketing shift or at least emphasizing some of that. Yeah. I mean, the world of sort of mass market, we're all plugged into the same thing is sort of behind us. Right. And so you have to go get those audiences. And as long as you have the audience in that local area, you're good. You don't have to, you know, go anywhere else for that franchise.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah.
So you become famous in your own little world there. But that's how you do it with that kind of guerrilla marketing, you know, with influencers. Is there anything else you have found helpful that you always feel? I mean, obviously Google, you know, finding people on maps and being able to order and things, but tell me anything else.
Yeah. So we try to ingrain ourselves with the local community by, you know, reaching out to the fire department, police department, local schools, local, you know, teams, and just sometimes delivering free food out to them and letting them know that they have a place to come to in their own community where they can get great food.
That's beautiful. Yeah. Now, community involvement is, I mean, as a business owner, right, I guess, and this, I'm going to, it's a question and I think a statement because I've learned from others, but I mean, it's so important for business owners to kind of, you know who the other players in the space are, right, that might benefit. Part of that, were you saying is there also any type of catering service you do, or is it mainly just let the employees know, make offers to other businesses or joint ventures, but how does that exactly work? How do you partner with other businesses?
Yeah, out in Brooklyn, we have a store on Utica Avenue in Brooklyn, and you would think, oh, you know, how do they reach out? Brooklyn's so densely populated, right? It's not like the suburbs. But store owner in Brooklyn, franchisee, he went out to the local high schools and you know, he has a standing catering order every month for that local high school. And they order from him. They order all different types of products. And he's reached out, and all those high school kids come to him after school, and they've probably recommended his location to admins in that school. So, you know, it works both ways. It's kind of word of mouth as well as active reach out from our franchisees.
That's great to have that flexibility, too. When you're building a business, you definitely want to have multiple legs to the stool, right?
Absolutely.
And those business relationships tend to stick well and you know, be pretty predictable. And really, it's up to you. I mean, there's a territory, and I guess there's a proximity thing, but I'm sure you can hit as many as you want. And there's other ideas. So it's a pretty good option other than just hoping for the foot traffic. But in Brooklyn, hopefully you get enough of that too.
Yeah, Brooklyn's a different animal.
I'd be depressed if I'm starting in Indianapolis somewhere in the suburbs, right?
Yeah, but like you said, you could never sit back, just cross your fingers and hope for the best, right? It's always, no matter if you're in IT sales or any sales job that you're doing, right? Even a restaurant business, it's a sales job at the end of the day. You're selling a product that you're hoping people would like. You got to go out there and gain their trust and gain their, you know, gain access to them and have them try out your product. Like I said, it's a numbers game. The more people that try out your product, the more people are going to like it. And we're confident that people are going to like our food.
I like that. I like that numbers game. Right? Me and you've been in sales. We know there's other things to offer. I just give out some free wings and get them hooked. But so you mentioned earlier that you're signing, I think you said you had 150 in the pipeline.
Correct.
And I wanted to talk to you a little bit about the model, like the you know, how you approach the expansion and area development or multi-unit ownership. Do you have some strategic relationships that you've leaned on and that you're purposely looking at that has helped you do that? Is it looking like that, or is it a lot of just onesie twosie, or is it there's some strategic relationships? I mean, that's quite an impressive number.
Yeah, great question. You know, as we've been growing, we've had a lot of different folks reach out to us, venture capitalists, et cetera, you know. And what we chose to do here at Atomic Wings is we chose to keep it. I like to say, I know all my franchisees, I know their families. It's sort of a family run business, if you, you know, could put it that way. And what we've done is we've grown organically. So we've made partnerships with area reps, master franchisees in certain states that, you know, we've vetted out, and we trust them to build out, you know, and develop Atomic Wings within their states. So that's how we've been able to grow. And that's the partnerships that we've made. So we've made our partnerships with our own area reps in those states.
So tell me a little bit more for the audience. Like, me and you know this stuff pretty well, but I love that. That's amazing opportunity. I guess two-part question is, are you still expanding that way? Is there more on the list? And then tell us more about that ownership at the state level and what exactly that looks like. How does that work for someone?
Yeah, absolutely. So an area rep, you know, they've purchased an entire state or territory. And what that means is they've committed to develop a certain number of locations within that territory. And they're sort of going to be the mentor for any franchisees they bring on within that state. And for that, for their services, they are able to share in royalties and franchise fees with Atomic Wings. So, you know, we would be sharing our royalties and our franchise fees with that local area rep.
That's amazing. Amazing. Well, you know, franchising has a lot of different ways to expand, but it's all about a network effort. It's we're all in this together, one brand. Okay. And you guys, yeah, I, you know, Atomic Wings, man, you're getting people fired up. You got to bring it to Colorado for sure. you need a guy here. But no, I love that. I love breaking that down. But I did want to ask you about something else, and I missed it earlier a little bit about like the you know, the menu. It's not so much about the menu, but it's about the structure of the actual environment, right? So tell us a little bit about the experience that you get when you go to an Atomic Wings. But also, I wanted to ask you about, is there some kind of innovative drive-through approach you're doing? And how do you handle that, if so?
Yeah, so as you know, right, the drive-thrus are just hot right now. It's everywhere you look. You know, everyone's fighting for that same real estate. Drive-thrus just it's a convenience thing, and it's really what the consumers are thriving for these days. So we've actually just opened our first drive-thru. It's about 2 weeks old out of Houston, Texas, and we're able to do that with you know, a variety of the equipment and our processes that we use. So when I first started in the business, Rob, it took about 12 to 14 minutes to cook wings. And that's where our competitors are right now. And we've gotten that down to about 3 to 4 minute cook times, which allow us to tackle that drive through. And we really feel that's going to be the way of the future here. We've seen it in, you know, we've seen it in the tender space with Raising Cane's and some other folks. And, you know, they just do astronomical AUVs out of those drive-thrus, Chick-fil-A's. You know, we used to have single drive-thrus back in our day, right, Rob? Now there's double drive-thru lanes, right?
Crazy.
And it just shows you, I mean, these big companies have done the research, right? There's a reason why there's two drive-thru lanes and not just one. It's because that's where consumers are going. You know, lobbies are becoming empty, and these drive-thrus are just getting bigger and bigger.
Yeah, it's interesting because I just think of when I raising my kids the last 15 or so years, you know, I still had that mindset of let's just run in, right?
Yeah.
I don't think they ever wanted me to run in. Like always drive.
They want you to grab their food. Yeah, grab your food. Let's, you know, we got a smart TV back at home. Everyone, you know, they've made it so affordable to have this big screen TV at home now, where they don't want to sit at, you know, in a restaurant where the TV channels are dictated to them. They want to sit at home in the convenience of their own home, eat their food, and enjoy their food, and watch what they want to watch.
Exactly. That's the world. So, but you mentioned, you said AV, higher AVs per location, right? Talk to me about that, because I think the audience, you know, unpack that a little so the audience understands that you can drive more profitability out of one location with the same resource. So I think that's what we're saying, but can you help break that down and help explain that?
Yeah. So you're using, in essence, you're using the same labor, and you're just adding another revenue stream right through that drive-through lane. But, you know, statistics show that drive-through locations do about 30 to 40% more volume than standalones or, you know, inline locations.
Wow. Yeah, no, exactly. So, and AV, what does that stand for?
AUV. So it's basically unit volume. So annual unit volume. So annual unit, you know, sales.
Got you. And you were saying that just blasts that into the stratosphere. If you can add that element, that drive through, and maybe multiple at some point. So that's cool. But you also had to solve the problem of being able to cook faster, right?
Correct. You don't want people waiting in a drive through for 12, 15 minutes. You know, and wings, in essence, that's why no one has done it thus far. There's a lot of brands that are bigger than us that haven't gotten into space, and it's just the way their process is compared to the way our process is.
I think you might have just sold me right there. You know what I mean? Like that's very unique. For anyone listening. But so let's just, as we wrap this up, I wanted to have like a little bit of a two-part question. What are you looking for? What does the right candidate look like to you? You're a guy that's now been doing this a while. You know, you kind of probably can pick up on the right sort of traits that you've seen from your other franchisees and from yourself. But what are you looking for? And maybe it's transferable to other franchise ownership. So just, you know, in case the audience is thinking of other things, but what general qualities are you looking for? And do you have any other advice for someone who might be where you were a few years back? So not just maybe a franchisee level, but maybe thinking about taking their brand and using the franchise model to expand. Any advice from that point of view? So could you help me with that? And we'll take it from there.
Absolutely, Rob. You know, and I this is what I tell potential franchisees when I speak to them. I say, you know, it's not about the money for me. And this whole thing isn't about the money for me. I'm a competitive person and I want to be the best and I want to provide the best product, and I'm passionate about the brand and I'm passionate about our food and I love it. And that's what I'm looking for from a franchisee. I'm looking for active ownership within their restaurants, building the culture that we want for your local community, and really being passionate about our food and showing the world what we have to offer. One thing that I've realized over the years is absentee ownership just kills the business. I've had situations where, there was an absentee owner and he was doing maybe $8,000 a week. I switched owners and they're doing $20,000 a week, and same location, same brand. And it just goes to show you have to be in your restaurant. You have to love doing this. You have to love customer service. You have to love the food industry. And if you don't, just like anything else in the world, if you don't love it, you're not going to give it your all and you're not going to do real well at it. So you really have to, this is something that you have to put your all into. You're going to invest the type of money and, that you're going to put in a franchise and trust it to, I wouldn't do that with anything, with any investment. I wouldn't let anyone else run a ship. If I'm investing hundreds of thousands of dollars into something, it's my money and I'm going to take care of that money. And that's what I tell people.
Yeah, I love that. No, I mean, look, I think the idea that the difference in ownership and same place, more revenue, it's really that connection you're making with your people that are coming in and out every day, right? It's that culture you said. It's that, because I know just for me, like if I'm going somewhere, I tend to go places that I enjoy. Most of the time, they're friendly. They're very nice. Of course, Absolutely. The food is first. The food's awesome. But then if you go in there and they're always nice to you and smiling, like Chick-fil-A does it well, right? We know this.
Chick-fil-A does an amazing job at it.
Yeah. So, but you can't, like what you were saying is like, if you're not more connected, how are you managing that, right? And if it's just kind of there and people kind of make
pulse, you don't have your pulse on your restaurant. You don't know what's going on. You don't know what your customers are saying. And you can't pivot, right? If there is an issue, you're so far removed from it that you won't be able to react to that issue.
Yeah,
exactly. So you were about 8-9 years ago, you were kind of thinking about, should I take this brand on? Tell me if someone was in the restaurant business, maybe let's focus on that industry, and they're thinking we should franchise, right? A lot of brands start because people love their stuff, right?
Yeah.
What advice might you give them now that you've been on the inside of the franchise industry as a brand owner?
Yeah, it's a completely different animal. The amount of time and sacrifice that you have to give to this side of the business is ridiculous. You're wearing multiple hats from marketing to advertising, vendor relationship, vendor management, contracts. You have to be well-versed in all different aspects of the restaurant industry to really take that next step forward. And if you're not well-versed, you have to put the right people in place to make sure that you can succeed in moving the brand forward, because there's a lot that goes into it. And there's a lot that I didn't know when I first jumped into it. I thought, wow, you know what? Let me be a franchisor. And it was easy when it was in New York and, there was only like two or three stores. Making that leap, it's really difficult, but it's also rewarding to see where we were as a brand to where we are today. Everything from brand decor to our operations manuals, to our training manuals, it's light years from where we started at. And it's also, there's that feeling of, wow, look where we were and look where we are today. And here's the future plan. Look where we're going.
Yeah, I one thing I picked up on, and I've never been a franchisor, but I mainly work with franchisors. And I just think it's so cool that you can build a network of owners, people that have a dream of business ownership, want to do it, want to live a different life, have that, those customers and have that local connection, whatever their why is. But to be in that position as a franchisor, to see that growth, both at the individual level and then across the network and the country, right? It's kind of cool, man. Like, I got to believe it, because the other ways of expansion are go out and borrow money and, hire which is,
and you're going to give up
difficult.
A majority of your bit. You're going to give up majority of your company. So you might lose that, the direction that you had envisioned or your vision, because these investors that come in and take 51% and you'll be left with the rest. So you're not a majority owner anymore.
Exactly. Yeah. Now I love the industry for those reasons. And so before I totally let you go here, can you leave or share with anyone how they can get a hold of you guys, maybe in their local market, but most importantly, probably if they're interested in potentially partnering with you in one of these new states.
Best way to get in touch with us is through our website, www.atomicwings.com. You'll find all the information you need about our brand, about franchising, where we've been, our gallery, our food gallery, our photos, you know, franchising information. So everything you need will be right on our website.
Yeah. Yeah. Usually everything is there. It's very upfront. And then you get into the conversations so people can really do some due diligence, right?
Absolutely. And it goes both ways. We have to be a fit for each other.
Exactly. Yes. And so there's nothing to hide, right? It's all out. There's no, lock it behind an email and then I'll tell you something. But no, it's pretty much, go learn and then let us know. We're here for you. So I appreciate it. Zach, it's an absolute pleasure. And I hope you come back. I would love to see where we are in a year and two, and I will be keeping an eye out over here. So I'm hoping that I can come across an Atomic Wings here in the Colorado area and try it out, but we'll definitely be talking again and I'll look forward to it.
I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Got it.